watching, and we're going to get into our program this evening. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer to get started here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for an opportunity. Thank you once more for giving us a chance to be on the air tonight. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people to Christ. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. It's been a lot going on in the world, a lot going on here in the United States. Certainly our prayers go out to the folks in Florida recovering from that horrendous school shooting down in Florida this past week. And no doubt you've heard a lot about that. We'll probably touch on some of that tonight, I'm sure. But do pray for the people down there. Unfortunately, God being the thing that's needed most in our schools, a number of people have been saying, we don't want your prayers. In other words, they're saying that we don't want your God. Well, that's the problem. God's been booted out of school. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but want to remind you that you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we have got Terry calling in already tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
How you doing tonight?
I am doing well. Welcome.
Yeah, I called in last week. I'm from London, Ontario.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was listening into the conversation that the ladies called in about health and all that.
Oh, yeah, last week. And for our listeners that perhaps did not hear that, Terry's in Ontario, Canada, and he called in last week, and then he's referring to a caller that we had towards the end of the program. I believe that was Nancy that was calling in, and we ended up talking about some health needs and just different things about health and how to improve your health and some things that God's given us to help improve our health.
Yeah, I had something came to me after you guys were over. What came to me is that, and I have a real concern about this, about Christianity, especially with Christians that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
with the Holy Ghost and that.
Right.
Which just happened to me, by the way, a couple months ago.
Right. You're sharing your testimony. I appreciate that.
And I'm on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And, I'm saved by grace, and if those that are listening in that didn't hear the last time I called in. But anyway, the one thing that I had I have a concern in is just that, people that are unhealthy, that are Christians, one way that they could be healthy is by going out into the highways and the byways and compelling them to come in, the scripture says.
That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about it in that respect, but you're absolutely right. If you're willing to go out and walk around and talk to people, if you're in an area, for instance, like, some people live in an area, they're in an area where there's a lot of people that, you could walk around, you can talk to people, and some places have outdoor malls and things where, you have opportunity, and it gets you out active a little bit, gets you out moving around, and it gives you an opportunity to share the gospel with people as well at the same time. That's a good point.
Yeah, and I had the Lord shared something with me. Like, the Lord's been sharing things to me. I'm overwhelmed. And one thing that he shared with me is that when you talk to people, I go into the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they say, how are you doing today?
Right.
And it came to me that all I have to do is say to them. Say, can I mention to you how I'm doing today? And they'll say, yeah, sure. And I'd say, well, I'm doing really good because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's come into my life and gave me joy and happiness, and peace, and that's why I'm happy.
Yeah.
And he can do the same for you if you accept Him.
Exactly. Some people, when somebody says, "How are you doing?" they'll just answer one word, blessed. And that'll take somebody back because, most people, when you say, how you doing, people say, oh, fine, how about yourself? Yeah, it's kind of.
And they gave me permission. They gave me permission to speak.
Right, right.
About because they asked me, and so I'm telling them,
mm-hmm.
about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And that's like I said, when they're expecting you to just say, fine, how you doing, and then move on, but if somebody says blessed, they'll stop them sometimes, and sometimes they'll almost say, well, what do you mean? And then you can, you know, that's an easy way to launch into saying, well, I feel blessed. God forgave me my sins. I know Christ is my Savior. Do you see what I'm saying? And it ties in exactly with what you're saying. And it gives you an opportunity. Hey, they asked you, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, it's not like that I was going up to them and trying to, you know, shove it down their, you know, Christianity down their throat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shared it with them in love, like, you know, like General's Lamb, and they, you know, they appreciate that. But, you know, I live in London, Ontario, and I don't see hardly anybody. There's so many churches here, and I don't know what it's like in Cleveland, but there's so many churches here, and I don't see, like, the fields are ready, are white, ready for the harvest.
Yeah, the Bible says they're white unto harvest. And, in fact, the passage where Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest, he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. And I grew up on a small farm, you know, and when crops are ready to be harvested, they have to be harvested. They don't just sit there. You know, if you don't harvest the crop, it gets overripe, and then it begins to spoil, and you lose it. And he said the fields are ripe unto harvest. We're losing by not harvesting.
Yeah. That's the problem in the churches today. Like, you know, like, where's all the people?
Right.
Like, the Lord's not too happy, because we should be out there telling people about Jesus.
And yeah.
Everybody, our aunts, uncles, nephews, mm-hmm. nieces, like, we should be telling everybody who we believe in.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things, you know, because we all have different strengths. We have different abilities. You know, some people are people persons. You know, I remember a guy, he's with the Lord now, and he got saved when he was like, I think he was 78 years old. And his wife used to say, well, he could talk to a telephone pole and have it answering back in a few minutes. And, you know, he was just a people person, and he loved to go out and talk to people. And when he got saved, he just loved to tell people about the Lord. But not everybody's a people person like that. But you can find ways that you can reach out and be a witness to people, can't you?
Yeah, there's always a way. It's so easy. This is the thing that I don't understand. Well, I do understand now, but it's so simple. All we need to do is non-believers, all they need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And be saved.
Yeah, it's a relatively simple message. A child can understand and believe it, but we complicate it with so many things.
And it says, unless we become like little children, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point. We have to become like little children to enter into the kingdom of God, because, you know, what does a child do? A child trusts implicitly. You know, a child trusts its parent implicitly, and that's what we have to do with God.
Can I share something that the Lord shared with me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've been sharing the whole time. I mean, this is all the Lord, but the one thing that came to me is, you know, how many of us have ever actually went to our parents and said, to our mom and dad, what would you like us to do for us? What could I do for you today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Just say that to them. And then when they say, do that, we joyfully go and do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, outside of Mother's Day or Father's Day, that probably doesn't happen too much, that children go to their parents and say, what can I do for you today that would make you happy?
Yeah, that would make them happy if you did that. And yeah. The reason why I'm saying that is because that's the way the Lord wants to go to him.
Exactly. We should go to him as children and say, what can I do for you today?
Yeah. And then when he tells us what he wants us to do, we joyfully go and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the thing that the Lord has really been laying on my heart lately. But, you know, this is like, see, the biggest problem I believe that is with Christians is that we need to always, all the time, we need to go to the Lord every day, like I prayed before I even called you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, we should always be in constant communion with God at all times.
Yeah, it's like an open line that
yeah,
we might not be speaking constantly, but the line of communication is always there. So that whenever it's needed, we can speak and know that we have that communication, that line of communication with the Lord.
Yeah, and we receive not because we ask not, or we ask amiss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, the consuming on our own lust. But the Lord knows the heart, you know, so we can ask him anything, and he said he will do it.
Right. Well, and you know,
anything in my mind?
I'm sorry?
He said, ask anything in my name, and he said, I will do it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. When you're walking with the Lord in that kind of a relationship, he'll lay upon your heart things to ask for oftentimes. And he delights then to answer those prayers. You know, you think about it, a parent, for instance, let's say that you were a parent and you wanted to give your child a bicycle. And the child has a bicycle that's kind of old and beat up, and you want to give them a new one. And so you kind of plant in their mind, you know, the idea, wouldn't you like a new bike? Hey, you know, that one there's a nice bike. You've had it for a while, and it's kind of nice. But, you know, a new bike, you know, you're getting a little bigger. You might want a bigger bicycle or something like that. And, you know, as a parent, you can be planting those thoughts into your child's mind, you know, preparing them because you want to give them a bicycle. And when you give it to them, you want them to enjoy it. And so, sure enough, as you speak to your child about a new bicycle, they come to the point where they say, you know what? Mom or Dad, I'd like to have a new bicycle. Boy, I really would. My birthday's coming up. I'd really like to have a new bicycle. And you give them that bicycle. They're happy. You're happy. And, you know, I think God does the same thing sometimes. He gives us the desires of our heart. Sometimes can mean that he actually gives us the desire and then answers that prayer for that desire.
Yeah, and that's all, you know, the Father wants us to have, you know, to do is to humble mm-hmm. ourselves and draw nigh unto him. He says, if we draw nigh unto him, he said he'll draw nigh unto us.
Yeah.
You know, but if we don't, then we're going to be left in, like, that's when, you know, that's when the evil one comes in and he starts causing all kinds of confusion mm-hmm. and deception. And,
yeah,
and he's doing a good job of it.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people underestimate him. A lot of people underestimate him.
Yeah, I was reading a book on the history of Iran, and it was kind of interesting when the Ayatollah Khomeini came in and took over, you know, and they ousted the Shah back in, what was it, 1979, I believe it was. And when he took over, he turned Iran into a Sharia-compliant Shiite Muslim theocracy. And one of the things they did is they got rid of all of the places where people would have fun. And this is the difference between the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran. He said Allah does not want man to have fun. He did not create man to have fun. He created man to have difficulty so that they would appreciate Allah and this kind of thing. But, you know, the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth, he likes us to be happy. He wants us to be happy. And as believers, we're happiest when we know we're in the center of his will, doing the things that please him. And we're asking in prayer and receiving, and God is blessing us, and we can see the hand of God in our life, and we're happy.
Yeah, and he'll work out, like, he's a perfect God. He knows exactly what's good for us.
Exactly.
You know, and he'll give us exactly what we need.
Yeah.
All we need to do is trust in him and lean on him, and he said he'll do it.
Well, and he gives us these opportunities. It's just like being on the radio here. I was talking actually before the program started about, you know, you should be able to enjoy things that you're doing. And I enjoy doing this. This is something that I look forward to. I mean, I've had a long day today. I had a Bible study at 10. I had a morning service at 11, a nursing home service at 3:30, an evening service at 6 o'clock, went home, got some food, and went over some stuff online and to get ready for tonight. And now here I am, 11 to midnight, on the radio. I won't get home, you know, until late. But I enjoy this. I look forward to this because it's fun. And God gave me this opportunity. And I believe he put the desire in my heart to do it. And I enjoy it. I mean, it's fun to know you're doing something God wants you to do.
Yeah, and you know that I believe the Lord's given me that that joy in my heart. That you know, like I could hardly wait to call you guys in.
Well, I appreciate your call tonight, Terry. I really do. I want to thank you for that. So,
yeah.
And I hope you'll keep calling, keep us informed of what's happening up there in Canada, and things happening, how the Lord's working in your life.
Yeah, I'd like to ask. You know, like there's a lot of oppression in this city. It's really bad. And probably all over Canada, but all over the world, I guess. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that's what thing that we need a lot of prayer for, and, you know, because the devil is just, you know, he's gone rampant. you know, he knows his time is almost up, and you know, he's trying everything that he can to deceive people, and he's doing a good job of it.
Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we understand that. It's a spiritual battle. So, Terry, keep in the battle there and keep close to God. I got another caller I need to get to before the break comes up. We're fast approaching that, too. But I want to thank you for your testimony and sharing how God's working in your life and encouraging people, you know, to do something to share the gospel, share Christ with those around them, and to be busy about the Lord's service. I appreciate that, Terry.
No problem. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you as well. Thank you so much. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our number, and Nancy's on the phone. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I was listening to Terry from Canada talk about our conversation at the end of the, you know,
yes, last of course, you're the lady that called last week.
And we're talking about health and, you know, people praying for their health to be improved, but they're not really taking an action, you know, like not exercising or eating well. But when he mentioned, I thought it was a good idea. He said, well, just walking around and sharing the gospel with people, going around in the neighborhoods. Now, our church does that. We call it the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
We have certain members in. So I was asking one of them, what do you do for exercise? He said, well, you know that I walk around for about an hour and a half every Saturday sharing the commission. And, yeah, I just think that's really important. So I just wanted to share that with you. But and I do love witnessing to people, mainly at these two swimming pools I go to, mainly ladies in the locker room. And I had a really good opportunity today. I won't go into details. But the main reason I called, I wanted to ask you about Mark 13:32. But that day,
let me turn over here. Mark chapter 13. Let me get
13:32.
Mark chapter 13.
But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So am I reading this correctly, that the Son, Jesus, does not know when Jesus is coming back, but only God does? Maybe I'm just not understanding this correctly. If you can explain that to me.
Yeah. In fact, that kind of ties in with where I was at this morning over in Psalm 139, or not this morning, this evening at church. And let me just go back there real quick. Psalm 139, I'll tie this in. And looking at the clock there, if need be, we'll carry over into the second half. But in Psalm 139, this is how the psalm starts out. David's writing here, and he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, and my lying down art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And this passage here talks about the all-knowing characteristic of God, his omniscience, okay? We use that word. It's a big word, omniscience. Basically means all-knowing. He knows all there is to know. And we understand that God is omniscience. So he knows everything, and we know that Jesus is God, so he knows everything. Now, here's the thing. This actually kind of tied in with a question that arose in another venue, and I think we've addressed it on the program before, is do you really forgive somebody if you don't forget what they do? And the Bible talks about God forgetting our sins, and when I was preaching on Psalm 139 tonight, said, well, God knows everything. That's what it says. But then the question comes up. If we've sinned and God says, I'll remember your sins no more, then isn't that something that he doesn't know? And when I was talking about this, I said, God knows everything, but some things he chooses not to remember. Now, that sounds confusing to us. He says, I won't remember your sins anymore, but he knows that we sin, and I can demonstrate that because God chastens a believer for their sin, doesn't he?
Yes.
Think about that. When we sin, God chastens the believer in their sin to get them to stop sinning. What was that? Hebrews chapter, I'm going to mess this up, either 12 or 13 talks about that. See, I think about one chapter and then I think of the other, and I mess myself up trying to second guess, but I'm not going to turn there right now. But it talks about the chastening hand of the Lord of believers, and it's designed to get our attention, to correct our bad behavior so that it'll improve our walk with Christ and our testimony for him. All these things, it's for our benefit, and not because God's punishing us. But if God doesn't know that we're sinning, well, why would he be chastening us? So he knows that we're sinning. He also tailors the chastisement to meet the sin, but he chooses not to remember it. So basically, God can limit himself in certain ways, okay?
Well, Pastor Al, do you think it's when we sin and we don't repent and ask God for forgiveness, that's when he chastens us?
If we repent
and ask for forgiveness. Now, I'm talking about after.
Yeah, as a believer.
Then he are those the ones, those the sins that he forgets? Do you think?
Yeah, but possible? He still knows of them. He still knows of them, and it's kind of a hard thing to say, to wrap your mind around. But so Jesus, in his incarnation, he was still God in the flesh, but there are certain limitations that he took upon himself. Let me give it to you in a different fashion. He's all-powerful, right? Mm-hmm. But there are things that Jesus chose not to be able to do in his incarnation. He's all-holy, and yet he chose to limit himself so that he could live around unholy people and not strike them dead because of their sin. And so he was around this. He took these limitations on himself. And in the incarnation, Jesus had limited himself so that this passage here in Mark 13, verse 32, where he says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And we understand God is one God, but we have the three manifestations, aspects, persons, however you want to phrase it, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I always explain it, we're creating the image of God. You and I have three parts to our being, a body, a soul, and a spirit. God the Son corresponding to the body, or I should say our body corresponding in an analogous form to God the Son, our spirit in an analogous form corresponding to God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which leaves the soul, the mind, the intellect, the emotion, to correspond with God the Father. That's where the decision-making is made. And in the incarnation, God the Son limited his power, limited his, this is going to sound awkward, limited his holiness in a sense, so that he didn't strike people dead, and limited, I believe, some of his knowledge so that he was able to make this statement. It wasn't the Son that was determining when the hour that the Lord would come back or when this this would take place, but the Father that was determining this, and he would do it at the right time. But Jesus in his incarnation was limited. I hear the music coming. We got less than 20 seconds to go. If you want to follow up with this, we can hold you over if you'd like.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've got we got about 5 seconds to go. So hang on. We've got another half hour to go. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions. just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And just a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can go from there to our church website for the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. Let me invite you to visit us there. The information there during the middle of the break there that we have in the middle of the program. But just mention that currently during our morning Bible study and the 10 o'clock hour, we are currently looking at proofs of God's existence, and right now we just started a week or two ago the looking at creation and evolution, and so we'll be covering that for a little bit of time here. We just had finished a segment dealing with morality and ethics and in relation to evidence of God's existence. Then, of course, at 11 o'clock, our morning worship service. I am currently preaching through the book of Galatians. We're in Galatians chapter 2. And then on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, I'm preaching through the book of Psalms. We just finished Psalm 139 tonight, so next week, Lord willing, we'll be at Psalm 140. So if you're looking for a church home, looking for a place where the Bible is preached. Maybe you're not in church. Maybe you're new to the area. Maybe you're in a church that doesn't believe the Word of God or preach the Word of God, and you're looking for one that does. I'll be the first to admit we're not a church for everybody. We're not everybody's cup of tea, as it were, or cup of coffee, as that were. We have a group of people that want to know what the Bible has to say, and that's what we try to work on doing there. But you can find out more about us online. Just visit us livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs there, and you can even link to our sponsor, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216
216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And it's a great pizza. I love it. Just had some this past week and had some there with the owner, Gus. And let me encourage you to check that out. Had some that I brought home. It heats up well in the microwave. Trust me, it comes out just about like it does when it comes out of the oven. It's that good. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. And as I said, mention Live with Pastor Al. You can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. Maybe you want to get started in the pizza business yourself. Maybe you have a restaurant and you need a great pizza recipe. Why don't you call Gus at East Coast Pizza? 216-341-9100. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, and he'd be glad to help you get started. You can give him a call, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. If you've got a question about the Bible, remember our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. Nancy's holding right now. She was on with us in the last half hour, and we were talking about the limitations that God sometimes puts upon himself and upon Jesus during the incarnation. And Nancy, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Al. And you're making me hungry talking about that pizza. But
it was good. Had some Friday night after Friday night Bible study, I think it was. We went home and had a couple pieces left. A nice piece of, of a deluxe pizza that that Gus made for me with all the good stuff on it. And then Kim had a piece with, what was it, sausage and pepperoni. And I had a piece of that, too.
Those are my two
good
favorites.
It was good. But,
yeah. Well, praise the Lord. So you said as far as Jesus coming back, God is the one that makes the decision.
Yeah, God the Father. Yeah.
God the Father. But not the Son, but it says here, he knoweth the day and the hour, knoweth no man, know not the Father which are in heaven, neither the Son. It says the Son knoweth. So does Father God, does he just sort of tell him right before it's going to happen that you're going to be coming back? Or because it says he doesn't know.
That's a good question. And again, looking at this, does Jesus know now or not know now, or will he not know until the Father says it's time to go? I'm somewhat of the opinion that this relates to his incarnation, that this is one of the limitations upon himself during the incarnation, but that when he returned to heaven, I personally think that he knows now. But at this particular time, because remember, Jesus was on earth here. Jesus was on earth, and he was telling the disciples. In fact, if you look at this, he had been to the temple, and the people in the beginning of Mark chapter 13, if you look in verse number 1, it says, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Of course, that's a prediction of the coming destruction of the temple, which occurred in the year 70. And then it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be?" Meaning, when's the temple going to be destroyed? "And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And basically, they want to know, okay, what's going to lead up to the destruction of the temple and then to the, you know, to the finishing of these things that you're predicting, meaning all the way up until the return of Christ, you know, till he comes back in glory. And this is before his crucifixion. And so he's trying to prepare them. And that's where at this time he had not yet been crucified. He had not yet experienced the resurrection. And he was still, you know, limiting himself in many ways so that he could live amongst sinful men and not destroy them with his own holiness and consume them with the with the word of his or the power of his word, I should say. You know, because when you look at Jesus coming back in Revelation 19 as well as in Zechariah chapter, 12, I believe it is, or 14, where Jesus comes back in power and he defeats the armies of the Antichrist and they're destroyed right where they're standing, basically. That's the kind of power that he has, but he limited that power so that he could go to the cross. And in those limitations that he took upon himself, I believe that there were some physical limitations, some limitations on his power, some limitations on his conduct, or whatever you want to say, his, like I said before, though it sounds a bit awkward, limitations on his holiness. I'm not saying Jesus was not holy or as holy as he could be. What I'm saying is that you cannot stand in the presence of a holy God in a sinful state and survive unless God limited himself in some fashion. It's just like, I remember when I was growing up, my dad was a welder, and he had an arc welder, and he would be outside using the arc welder. He had it in the back of his truck, and people would come over with welding jobs, and or he would be working on something, and learned at an early age that when he had the arc welder going and he started to use it, to turn away and not look at the spot where he's welding, because you can burn your eyes. And some people have had, you know, where they look at it, it's like getting a sunburn on your inside of your eye, and it's not comfortable. So we were taught,
we were looking, like we were told, looking at the sun eclipse,
right during the eclipse. Don't look at it; you can burn the inside of your eye. So I learned at an early age. You could hear the generator on the arc welder going, but as soon as it started, it pitched up when he was welding, where it would go, you know, and it would pitch, the sound would increase in its pitch. You knew, don't look. But my dad was staring intently right at the very spot that he was welding. The way he could do it is he had thick lenses on the welding mask that protected his eyes, so he could look directly at the spot where that electrode was causing an arc of electricity to melt that metal. And without that protective lens, he would have gone blind. But that lens protected him. And so Jesus, in his absolute holiness and righteousness, there had to be a protective lens, as it were, because we could not have been in his presence. You know, Mary and Joseph could not have been in his presence. Peter, James, and John could not have been in his presence unless there was something protecting them, some filter, as it were. And that's what I mean when I say that Jesus, as God manifest in the flesh, took on some limitations in some senses where the people around him were protected. You know, think about it. Think of the people. Yeah, think of the people at the crucifixion who spat upon the Lord Jesus Christ and struck him and insulted and cursed him. Now, how could a man do that to God and not be struck dead? Because of the power and the righteousness of God. God took limitations upon himself in order to allow that to happen, so that he could taste death for us. And so that's why I said again, here in Mark chapter 13, verse 32, where it says, but of that day and that hour, talking about the return of Christ, you know, the end of and all of this, that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. I believe that he had limitations that were self-imposed upon himself, so that he could minister in a physical form among us without consuming us with his holiness and his presence. And
that makes sense.
Yeah,
that
and then when he ascended up into heaven, of course, no longer has the need for those limitations, because he's there in his glory. And the glory of God, remember when Peter and James and John, I believe it was, went up on the Mount of Transfiguration? And the Bible says that he literally, Jesus began to glow. His garments became white, and his skin literally glowed. They could hardly look at him. And they were only seeing a bit of his glory. Remember Moses, when he went up on the mountain and wanted to see the glory of God? And God said, you can't see directly, but he put him in the cleft of the rock, and he sheltered him. And so, yeah, until we receive, you know, that glorified body, we cannot be in the presence of a holy God, not with this body of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, the Bible says, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This body has a sin nature. It would be consumed. And that's what mm-hmm. happens to the armies of the Antichrist at the return of Christ. They're literally mm-hmm. consumed where they stand. And
mm-hmm.
and that's
well,
in the presence
you.
Of a holy God. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
You explained it very well. Thank you, and well, God bless you.
Well, thank you, Nancy. I appreciate
and
that.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
Hey, got a question for you real quick before you go.
Sure.
We were talking about golden paste last week. Have you tried making it yet?
You know what? I did a modification of that. I have not done the full recipe, but I was having a cup of green tea, and I said, I'm going to put some coconut oil, powdered turmeric, and pepper in my green tea. And you know what? It tasted really good. Now, I haven't made the full recipe, but I know those are the same main ingredients.
Yeah, and the cinnamon. That's the other main ingredient.
Oh, the cinnamon. Oh,
yeah.
There's
some other things in there too.
I didn't put the whole recipe in there, but I was surprised how good it tasted because turmeric is sort of bitter.
Yeah.
But, coconut oil, I've used that in coffee as like a coffee creamer. And then when you emphasize that the pepper is needed to assimilate the turmeric.
Right. That's the curcumins,
I
believe,
that's
in the turmeric.
Too.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm gonna make the recipe. But thank you very much for putting that on Facebook. And it was amazing all the different ways that it helped you and your wife and other people that you mentioned. You put it right on Facebook. So thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, and if anybody's interested in looking, it is there. It's a golden paste recipe, and it's easy to make. Something I was going to point out too. Is the type of cinnamon that you normally get works, but if you can go online or you have a health food store where you can order the Ceylon cinnamon, I believe it is. It's cinnamon, it's the same, but it's a different subspecies or something like that, and it has more of what's good for you in the cinnamon. It doesn't have as strong of a flavor. I remember reading somebody got some, and they said, oh, this cinnamon's no good. I have to use twice as much to get the same flavor. It's not as strong of a cinnamon flavor, but the good mm-hmm. stuff that's in the cinnamon that helps with your blood sugar and things like that
is more powerful. And then I was going to ask you, you said that you get some of your spices and different things from an Amish website. I would love to know.
Or no, an Amish bulk food store.
Oh, you have to go there in person.
Yeah, there's some good websites. You go to a couple of them that people can find them online. You can shop around and, you know, you can even go through Amazon and find some stuff. But you shop around, you find out what you got, and you can shop around, find out who has the best price. But my wife and I like to go down to Amish country periodically. It's kind of our getaway. Spend an afternoon and drive down to Amish country, and it's just nice to get away and enjoy a meal down there. And then there's a bulk food store in particular we like to go to. And you know, when you can buy a big cart or a big thing, what would it be, like about a pint or size container or a little bit bigger? Think of the large cottage cheese container full of a spice there. And pay less for that than when you go to the grocery store and you find a thimble full of it.
Oh, yeah. grocery stores are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I really appreciate that golden paste recipe. And I have been trying, maybe you hear it on the radio, Relief Factor. Do you hear it advertised?
Yeah, and that's got some of the same things in it. I've not used it myself.
Uh-huh. No, I've been using it for several months. It really helps my arthritis.
Yeah.
Very, very minor arthritis symptoms. But I was thinking, I'm not sure if I should do the golden paste because it seems like some of the ingredients in Relief Factor overlap with what you were saying. I know turmeric is one of them.
Yeah.
But one of them is some kind of a fish oil, so I need to look into that further. And then I love to research things. And I did read that turmeric has slight estrogen effects, which can, if you overdo it, it can be cancerous, especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another concern. I need to look into that, too. But those are just some of my.
Oh, yeah. And there, everything is going to have its good points and its bad points. And moderation is the key. I remember back in the 70s. People, you know, were raising comfrey because comfrey was considered such a healthy thing. And then I don't even know if you can buy comfrey anymore because people were planting it and raising their own and all that.
But
comfrey promotes cellular growth, and they were finding out people with some cancers, it was causing the cancers to grow more rapidly. But they were using it for like a wound treatment and things like that. But it's kind of interesting. God created all these plants, and you know, when I went to college at Colorado State, my minor was in botany, so I like to look at plants, and I like to see what they do, and that's one of the reasons I minored in botany. You know, God created these plants, and He put things in them for our health, for our healing. And some things, like, for instance, oxygen is very necessary. You're not going to last very long without it. But too much oxygen causes oxygen narcosis. And water is certainly necessary. But if you drink too much water, you can literally get water poisoning. And it's the same with some of these things. You know, if you drink too much carrot juice, you can actually cause your skin to get an orangish hue. Because of the carotene that's in it. It's just all kinds of things that in moderation.
Definitely. I much prefer doing things like alternative medicine as opposed to prescription drugs because, you know, some of these prescription drugs have such serious side effects. But I know some people need certain drugs, but I think certain ones are overdone.
Yeah,
but I definitely prefer to use alternative methods, you know.
Well, and the amazing thing is a lot of our prescription drugs originally came from plant-based sources. Aspirin, for instance, came from the black willow. In fact, before they had aspirin, when people had headaches or toothaches, they chewed on black willow twigs. And then, of course, the opium poppy, in addition to opium and all the problems with that, but it gives us morphine. And a number of other opioid-based painkillers. Digitalis comes from a plant called digitalis, foxglove, and it's a great heart medicine. They use that in hospitals, emergency room, different things, and on and on. So many plant-based.
Just one real quick question. Maybe you know about this. I heard some people that were real big proponents of medicinal marijuana. Is it true that marijuana can be separated so the aspect of it that makes you high can be eliminated so you can just have the medicinal aspects of marijuana, they say, which is really good for a lot of different illnesses? I didn't know if that was accurate or not, or maybe.
Like the opium poppy can give us some valid medicinal products in addition to opium and heroin. But the marijuana, there may very well be health benefits, and a lot of them might be achieved from hemp, which is similar to marijuana, but without all of the addictive and psychotropic effects of the THC and stuff in the marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But there can be some research done, and there is research being done, and if there is valid medicinal things inside of the marijuana that can be isolated and turned into useful products, it's like morphine, for instance. I remember my mom with COPD when she was on hospice, you know, we had Roxanol, which is a liquid morphine, form of liquid morphine, which when with people with COPD, when her airways would constrict and she would get tense, And all, a few drops of Roxanol under the tongue would cause her to relax and cause the airways to open up and allow her to breathe freely again. Mm-hmm. And it's a real blessing to people. If anybody's ever seen somebody with COPD struggling to breathe and panicking and seen the difference that a few drops of Roxanol, they're not getting high or anything like that, but it relaxes and opens up the airways so that they can breathe, and the relief and comfort it brings to them is amazing, and so it's a valid medicine in the arsenal that our medical community has, and it comes from the opium poppy initially, and we've been able to isolate these things, and so many plants. There's other plants that are poisonous, but they've isolated drugs from them that can be used from medicinal purposes. We're running out of time, and we wound up into the pastoral homeopathic time again. But I was going to say there's another plant called May apples, and some people may be familiar with them. They usually grow in a wooded area, and they come up in the spring. They kind of look like little umbrellas in a sense, and they'll have a little apple-type fruit that grows on the side, and it'll get kind of a creamy color when it's ripe. But the fruit is edible, but the plant and the root is poisonous. You don't want to eat it, but they've actually they've isolated compounds out of the root, I believe it is, that they use for medicinal benefits. You know, you can even take the venom from poisonous snakes and produce a variety of products with medicinal benefits, not just anti-venom, but other things. And there are people who are doing amazing research into these things. And God created these things. He knows what he's doing, and he gives people the wisdom and the intelligence to do this. You know, some people with the medical marijuana, they just want an excuse to get high. That's all there is to it. But
no, but I did hear that it was definitely that somebody has, you know, certain organizations.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't get high from the what they've separated.
Oh, yeah.
It's already been done.
Yeah, and so there's work being done on it. But some people say, no, I just need the medical marijuana because I want an excuse to smoke it.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well, they're just
But, you know, there are things that God's given us. Well, hey, we're out of time. The ultimate
thank
thing
you.
God's given us is grace through Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.